Blog Talk Radio.
Because we're an African, we are coming together in one unity. All you children of the earth, gather round for the celebration of storytelling with Omi. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it is Kwanzaa time. For all those young children, we ask that you gather around and come for story time. We have a special day hollowed out just for the children. And ladies and gentlemen, if you have children that are off in bed, allow them to stay up for just a little bit longer now. We're coming together because it's Kwanzaa time. We've had our drum roll. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Care to Read Room. You've got your Omiyika live coming to you straight from my studio. We'd like to welcome you for this occasion. This is a children's night, of course. For those parents who would like to be engaged in storytelling, you're welcome here, too. We have a different program hollowed out for our children today, a little bit different because of time constraints. We are going to talk about the seven principles of Kwanzaa. Instead of doing the libation, we're going to bring you the seven principles of Kwanzaa, and then we're going to go into our storytelling. And we'd like to welcome each and every one of you. We celebrate Kwanzaa because it is our first fruit. We give our higher self back to God, and we offer up praises and worshiping, and we dance the dance of unity. Now, last night we attempted to dance the dance of unity, but because we didn't have our African music, we're going to just bring our African music into the room today. And just bear with me because it's a little difficult finding African music and having it available to you. So we're going to try to bring in a little bit of Native American music, too. I want you to hear some of the Native American music. A little different, but it's still a part of the nation. Stay tuned and listen to the Native Americans' music. That the music of the Native Americans is similar to the African Americans. The drums are being played in addition to the music and the chanting. We want to bring the dance of unity, and the dance of unity would mean that we will bring all cultures together. And because we have been so lax in talking about our culture, ladies and gentlemen, we are overdue with our stories and our traditions and our fables. So tonight, we like to make up for that time that we have left. We like to make up for the time that we had not been telling our traditional African stories to our children. And that's why we hollow this space out every year. Now, I want to go over the seven principles of Kwanzaa with you in case you've forgotten what they are. I want you to understand that every year around this time, we bring out the seven principles. However, Kwanzaa doesn't start until the 26th. You can start a little bit early. Now go and buy the three red candles, which represent the blood that was shed through our middle passage, all of the lives that were lost, all of the people who didn't make it over that Atlantic Ocean, and the door of no return. And a large portion of them died in the bottom of those ships. Some of them were even thrown over into the water for the sharks to eat. This is for those people's blood that was shed. The red represents the blood of our people that was shed during the Middle Passage. So get three red candles to represent those who did not make it to the new land over here in the so-called land of plenty, the land where we work to the sweat of our brows as we work out in the cotton fields. Now, there's a green land of Africa that is so rich that everyone wants a part of Mother Nature, and they suck off her mammary glands every chance they get. That green land represents our land, ladies and gentlemen. That is for the people. So get three green candles to represent the people and place them in your kanara. Then purchase a black candle. Go out and find that black candle as soon as you can. That black candle represents the people, the Nubian burnt-skinned people. That's what it represents. Now, we're going to open our chat rooms because some of you do like to come in and chat. So we invite you into our chat rooms. We're having a festivity, a celebration here. We're dancing the dance of unity today and bringing about a traditional African heritage story. Now, I'd like to just read to you what those seven principles are so you can post them somewhere. In the event that you don't celebrate Kwanzaa, here's a good time for you to start. And post these seven principles somewhere so you can remember. They're called the Nguzum Saba. Can you say that? The Nguzum Saba is what we use to dance the dance of unity. And the Nguzum Saba is very important for Africans to know. It covers all of the principles of Kwanzaa. And the first one is unity. And we talked a little bit about this before. But unity is on December the 26th. It's called Ijumaa. And on unity, this is for us to strive and maintain our unity in the family and the community and our nation overall. And the next one on December 27 is Kujichajalia, standing for self-determination. And for those of you who would like for me to spell that for you, that is Kujichajalia, Kujichajalia. It is Kiswahili. And it means to create, to name, to define for ourselves, and be able to make a decision for ourselves. And then you have December 28, Ujima, collective work and responsibility to build and to maintain our community while we work together to create and to clear up a problem. December 29 is Ujima. And Ujamaa is cooperative economics. That's what we talk about in this room periodically. To build and to maintain as we develop for ourselves. And we use this cooperative economics for building our business and our projects and coming together. December the 30th is Nia, meaning purpose, to make collective purpose for yourself and a vocation for yourself and building and having a reason for living. December 31st is Kuomba, creativity, to create a community that was better than it was before and to leave the world and earth in a better place and beautify it. Finally, January 1st is Imani, faith, to believe in our people and to believe in our teachers and our leaders and believe that we can achieve and to develop victory and to believe in ourselves. Now, those are the seven principles, and I'd like to give you the enduring question. The question here today is to be or not to be African. That is the question here today. That is the enduring question. As I told you, we were looking at understanding development by design and understanding that the enduring question is, at the end of the day, as we struggle to be Africans, should we or should we not be our full African selves? That's the question. At the end of the day, be yourself and let it be known that from henceforth that you will be African. Now, as I light these candles, I light the green candle, and the green candle, you start with your green candles. You light each one. I light the three green candles. I'm going to do all of the candles so that we don't have to worry about doing it on the 26th. I light each green candle. Then I light my red candles, which represent the blood of the people that were shed. All three of them, I light them. Then I finally light my black one, which represents the black skin, burnt skin people. Now, there are Zawatis that are given, which are gifts, and you are to make these gifts and not go out and buy them. So make sure you create things like songs and dance and poetry, gifts that you can make that are personal. Do not go out and participate in emptying out your bank account and running up a big tab on your credit card. This is not cooperative economic. We want to buy for ourselves and continue to maintain our economic status. So we want to be thrifty. Now, that is just Kwanzaa in a nutshell. However, your festivities should go on. Your dinner party should start like tomorrow. You might want to start your meal and offering people a plate of food, inviting them over. Your festivities will start the day after Christmas, so you can go on for 7 days and celebrate. And it's very good to dance the dance of unity. So why don't you join us in dancing that dance of unity as we go over to our music and find something we can put on to help us dance the dance of unity. Now, we have been talking about Kwanzaa in here for a long time, and we have been trying to get you to understand how important it is to be a part of a culture and a custom. It's very important that you should understand we have a rich heritage. We have a rich culture, not just a heritage, and we must play this thing out, ladies and gentlemen. We must play it out, and we must also help our children to learn how rich our culture was. We're going to get ready for storytelling. Hold tight. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we are getting ready for our storytelling. Join us as we get ready to tell the story, the African traditional stories, ladies and gentlemen, by the African American Folktale, one of my favorite books by American storytelling. And this story that I'm about to read to you is a story that I'm sure you will find very delighting, and it's called The Faithful Brother. The Faithful Brother. Ladies and gentlemen, call in the children so that they can be present for the story. We want them to join us for this story. It's a very good story. As the children come in and gather around, I'll wait till they get seated and we'll start on our story. Now, The Faithful Brother. This story of Kawiki speaking people of Kenya retold by the African folklore. And I am going to retell the story today, if you don't mind, ladies and gentlemen. A long time ago, there was a young warrior who lived with his sister. He lived alone in a, they lived alone in a homestead far from the neighborhood. Their parents had been killed by a wild animal when the war and his sisters, when the warrior and his sisters were young, and the two had taken care of each other as they grew up because they were the only two people that survived. Because this was long ago, the warrior wore a goatskin hat that people no longer wore today. He wore his hair very, very long in the back, but his sister shaved his front for him. The warrior often went away for days at a time, long on end, for hunting trips. Each time when he came home, his sister had grill waiting for him. That was known as food, boys and girls. She had food waiting for him. And they sat on the stool and talk. This was a ritual that they did every day. They loved each other very, very much, very much. The warrior often went away, and he would come back from time to time. One day, the warrior had been gone for 2 days, and the sister was making grill for him. And then both of them were hoping that in his return, that it would be soon. A strange man came. One day when she waited for him to return, she went to the door, and there was a strange man that came to the door. And he took off his hat, and he walked into the door. The strange man could see from the way the girl was dressed and wore her dress that she was not married. He took her hand, and he held her wrist and stole her right out of her home for his bride. This was a custom in those days, ladies and gentlemen, and boys and girls. When the warrior came home, he called to his sister. Sister! She was not in the house, but he heard her calling back to him from far away in the tall grass. Brother! Go into the hunter. Go into the hut, brother, she said. Brother, go into the hut, she called, and eat your grill. It is waiting on your stool. The warrior did not go into the hut. He followed the trail left in the tall grass by the strange man who stole her away. This was a good tracker. He was a good tracker, his brother. But the man and the sister were moving so fast. Gradually, they got far and farther away from the warrior. But he never gave up the search. As he followed the trail, the young man and the young warrior became hunters. But he dared not to stop to hunt. Instead, he began to chew on the goatskin hat. As days turned into weeks, and he ate all his hat along with some of the roots and fruits he gathered. He became very dirty and tired searching for his sister. He ate very little and became very thin. He had no one to shave his hair above his forehead, and the hair grew very long. He came to a homestead, a very long journey from his own home. He was tired and hungry, and many months had passed. Then he met a lady at the door, and she was a merry woman who looked frightened. He asked for food, and she gave him some in a broken bowl. He took the food and ate it outside. He slept the night on the ground outside the hut so as not to worry the woman. The next morning, the woman came out, and he greeted her. They walked together to the field, and he helped her scare the birds away from the crop. Because the grain was ripe, he helped her because the grain was really ripe. And as he scared the birds away, he began to sing a song, something like this. Fly away, little birds. Fly away, little birds. Fly away, little birds. Fly away. Like my sister has flown away. Like my sister has flown away. I have never known her to go away. Fly away. He said, I've never seen where she has left me alone. She told him that his sister was gone. The woman looked at him in surprise and said, why has your sister flown away from you? The warrior answered, I don't know. I just don't know. She left me many months ago, and I have followed her footprints and those of a man for a long, long way. The woman's eyes grew large. She did not tell you where she was going, asked the woman. All she said was, the warrior answered, was your grill is on the stool. The woman began to weep and weep. I am your sister, she said. I am your sister, brother. Your hair is grown out, and you are thin and dirty and from the trail. I did not know you. I didn't know you, sister. When her husband came home, the doubtful sister had fed and clothed her loyal brother, shaved his forehead, and put on him the armband of a warrior. The husband welcomed the brother into their home, and in time they all became one family. The husband paid the warrior a good price and a fair price for his bride. The warrior's sister looked at him. A good time she looked him over, and a good fair price was what they gave for this bride. The warrior's sister came in, and in time the warrior went out and brought himself a bride as well and married. The two families had their homestead side by side, and the brother and sister lived as neighbors all the rest of their lifelong years together. A brother and sister came back together, ladies and gentlemen. And that's the story I had for you to read. And there's one more story I wanted to read to you. And let me see if that's in this book for you. It's called Clever Molly. And when the story retold from the Ozark folklore was told in Africa, Molly may have the service of an Asante instead of that of a rich man. Now, some of these stories that are told in Africa, ladies and gentlemen, they're parables. And let me read this to you, a parable, and tell you what it's about. Many of the languages and the groups of Africans live in the highland away from the rivers, and their stories focus on different kinds of adventure. The people in the river valley tell mostly amusing fables about animals that poke fun of people's behavior. In the highlands, many of these stories are about people and how they face danger and fear. In these stories, there is also a teaching message. The people in these stories provide examples of how to behave or how not to behave. This kind of story comes from different parts of Africa, which we learn wisdom, and is called a parable. When the animal fables are brought to America, they are transplanted and told as if they had happened here in the United States. These parables about people are directly from Africa, boys and girls, where they are still told today. They came to America more recently, and more African people came to America after World War II. These parables are always told in such a way that the listener knows that they are taken from Africa in the highland. And that's what a parable is. Now, let me tell you the story about Molly. Clever Molly. When this story retold from the Ozark folklore was told in Africa, Molly May was the servant of Asante instead of that of a rich man. The story probably came at the same time the Jamaicans and the mainland of the American South, for it is still told in both places today. And the story reads, rich man had a hill girl working for him and his maid. Her name was Molly, and she was smart, but sometimes she was a little lazy. One day, the rich man asked a rich friend to dine, and he told Molly to cook the best. She cooked up the fine chicken, one for each man, and the rich man brought a bottle of fine wine. But the rich man wanted to put on airs for the other rich man. He said, if only we had some of those fine finger sandwiches. Molly never heard of such a thing, but she said nothing. The rich man went to fetch his friends, and Molly set out the plates and poured the glasses of wine. She took a taste from the bottle to make sure that it hadn't turned bad while it was aging. It was good. She tasted it several times. She also had to taste the chicken to see if it came out all right. It was good. She tasted it several times, too. Pretty soon, the wine was all gone from the bottle, just empty. And the chicken was gone, too. Nothing left but the bone. Here come the rich man, putting on airs, bringing his friend along. He sat at the table. He sat at the table with his friend and dining room. In the front room was a place where and the glasses of wine were poured. If only we had finger sandwiches, he said once again. Molly knew she had to think fast. When the rich man went to the sideboard to get the fancy carving knife for the chicken, Molly came in and whispered to the guest. He's gone crazy. He's gone stock raving crazy, she said. He's going to cut off my fingers and make finger sandwiches. Here came the rich man with the sharp knife. He was going to give it to the rich friend so that the friend could carve the chicken in honor of him. Hold your fingers out, he said. The guest screamed, yikes, and ran out the door. He took both of his chickens, and Molly said to the rich man, go get them back from him. Get the chickens back. The rich man ran out with his carving knife, yelling to the friend, just let me have one of the chickens. Just let me have one. The guest put his hands in his pocket and ran as fast as he could and never saw the rich man again. Molly laughed. Molly laughed and laughed, and the rich man never knew clever Molly. Wonder how clever did she think she was. She was rather clever, if you ask me. She fooled them off real quick. Now, boys and girls, you should time to time have your mother read you stories, stories that are exciting, stories that will get you going, so that you understand that we have a life of storytelling, a oral life of storytelling. It's very important that you should understand that. And Kwanzaa is a time that we get together and we tell these stories and we make sure that everyone in the family has a chance to be a part of those stories. Now, let me see what else I have for you. I think I'll find some Kwanzaa music for you before you leave us, and we want you to understand that Kwanzaa is not a religious holiday. It is a first fruit holiday, and we should celebrate from time to time. Kwanzaa is a time when we do the dance. The emoji is a message that we should get out.
Once upon a time, we had our land, our culture, and our mind. Surely we had tried, but we all lived right there in Africa. Things began to change, there were forces that divided us. Spread throughout the world, we seem unsure about how it ends.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, and boys and girls, I have one more story for you. And I hope you remember Anasa. Anasa tried to steal all the wisdom from the world. And Anasa also tried to eat all the meals that Anasa could. This story is about Anasa trying to steal all the wisdom of the world. And this story is retold from folklore based on the stories of Lynn Campbell and beginning with the statement, we do not really mean it, meaning that they are telling fibs. used by some of the Asante people to tell listeners that their story is not part of their history. We do not really mean it. We do not really mean it. We don't mean it. We really don't mean it, meaning they don't mean to tell a lie. Anna saw the spider, knew that he was not wise. He was clever, but he was not wise, he thought. If I could get all the wisdom in the world and put it in my gorge, then I would be very wise when compared to everyone else. He went around from village to village carrying a gorge. He asked everyone to put some of their wisdom into the gorge. They laughed. Oh, you think I want to give you my wisdom? And so you must be crazy than what I think you are. They laughed. They laughed and laughed, but each gave Anasar some wisdom, knowing he could certainly use it. Soon he had a whole gorge and a full gorge of wisdom. Anasar tried to think, where do I put this wisdom? Where do I put it? And he wondered and wondered and wondered. He looked up at a tall tree and decided, I'll put the gorge up there where no one could find it. Anasar took a cloth, a band, and tied it around his waist and put the gorge in the band in front of his stomach. He began to try to climb the tree, but the gorge filled the wisdom and got in the way. He could not climb through the tree, and he tried and he tried. Along came Anasar's youngest son. I'm climbing this tree, don't you see? I have all this gorge of wisdom, and I don't want to drop it. Father, father, it would be better if you put the gorge behind you instead of in front of you, father. Anasar stood there quietly for a long time, staring his son down. And then he said, sure, I should have thought of that. Shouldn't you be going home now, son? The young spider went home. Anasar moved the gorge in the band at his waist. This time he put it behind him. He climbed the tree. From the top of the tree, he spoke out loud. I collected all this gorge full of wisdom, and my baby son still is wiser than I am. What do you like about that? Take your wisdom back. I don't want it, Anasar said. Anasar cracked the gorge open and scattered the wisdom in the wind, first to the east, then to the west, and you know the story of the rest. The wisdom was floating down everywhere. That is how everyone got wisdom to this day. And anyone who did not run there in time to pick up some of the wisdom forgive me for saying it, is a fool, because they didn't get any wisdom. This is my story, and this is how I tell it. And if it isn't sweet, and if it is not sweet enough, take it home with you and let some of it come back to me. This is the story of Anasar. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you've enjoyed the story time with me. I hope you've had a chance to understand that in this room, we are storytellers, and we are oftentimes telling stories from different parts of Africa. And we'll be back tomorrow. We're going to carry this over to tomorrow so that you can come in this room and be a part of our storytelling. We'd like to thank you for being a part of our storytelling. And it's very important to understand that when we have a celebration in this room, you ought to bring your books along so you can rewrite with me. And join the storytelling group. Let's listen to some of our African music as we go out this evening. And we'd like to thank you for joining us to be a part of the storytelling. Don't forget to join us tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen.
All its agendas to be one of revolution. We
We never stand so lonely, cause you have teeth on red souls. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. The message is a call for you.
Let us share one mind through a vision of how to feel. While we're hoping pain, for a first go around our motherland. All of